Thank God for another missionary Sunday, fifth Sunday, and those on the foreign soil and those at home and those that God used in a mighty way to be witnesses of Christ and his gospel. We thank God for all of you and all of those who have dedicated their lives to being missionaries for Jesus Christ. My message today, changed for a new mission. Changed for a new mission. Turn with me to Acts chapter 9. You know, this is where we see Paul converted. I just want to use this as a little backdrop as we move forward. He's met Christ on the road to Damascus. Christ have went down to an and spoke with Ananias about going to where Paul is located and to touch him and to greet him. And Christ told Ananias to calm his fear. He told him in verse 15, he says, "But the Lord said to him," you know, sometimes when you are fearful, you need to hear a word. Am I right about it? When you don't know whether you ought to obey God or not, you need to hear a word from God. He didn't know whether to obey God or not. He said, "This man is here to kill us. This man is here to do us harm." Man, isn't that something? I just want to think about it a little bit before I move on. Is it all right? Because all the word is good to me. You know, we know this. We read this. We got the Bible. We got the beginning, the end. We got Genesis. We got Revelation. We got all of that. But if you would put yourself in that person's shoes. Now, if we want to make it more contemporary, here's a guy that's been known to go into churches and shoot folk up. All right? And then this guy come in the neighborhood and God tell you to witness to him. All right, I'm trying to make it where you can feel it. Wait a minute, God, this guy done been killing folk in South Carolina, North Carolina, Florida. And look, we even try to protect our church. Now we don't know when a fool may walk in and try to take our life. I mean, Lord, let's get this thing straight first. Get him in some handcuffs and then we'll witness to him. Or just go down and lock him up. And then we'll do prison ministry. Talk with me now. I'm just trying to get you to feel the scriptures. See, we don't just preach the scripture. The scriptures, there are points in the word of God because it's alive. The word of God's not dead. We can read the letter of the word of God, but there's life. There's feeling. This was a real man, the real God, a real task. He said, "But God, this man want to do me harm, and you're asking me to go and meet him and do all of this." See, that's what I'm saying. Sometimes God will ask you and me to do some things you don't want to do. He'll ask us to love some folk you don't want to love. We got to get real with this word because we go through real life. But we play with the answers from the scriptures. We need real answers, and real answers come from the real word of God. And so you can praise God. I mean, God, I don't know. God, I may just have to disobey you on this one because of fear. And but God understood that, so he didn't just give him his command to go. He told him why he was going. You see, sometimes God will add a little bit more info to help you do what he wants you to do. Don't let nobody tell you, well, God just said, yeah, but I read. Also, every now and then, God will give you a little bit more info for your field. He won't tell you one-sided thing as though this ain't here. Watch it, watch. Are y'all with me? Now, I don't know why I'm getting this part of the message, but if Holy Spirit say, park here a little bit, I'm going to park here a little bit. That all right? As long as I stay in the Word of God, is that all right with y'all out there? Wake up. We alive. We all got situations. I got them too. You got them. But we got the Word of God. See, when Christ spoke to Ananias' children, he was speaking the Word of God. He is the Logos. God, the Word with God. The Word became flesh. He was the Word before his incarnation, before his enfleshment. Now the Word is giving a word to someone in fear. Have you ever been in fear? As a Christian. See, Ananias was saved. Ananias was born again, John. God won't send no unsaved person to Paul. He was a disciple. They won't use that word as of yet Christian. They will use disciple. My God. I don't know why I'm part here, but evidently there's something here. Because see, some people want to tell God, oh, we got a quick answer. If he won't, yeah. He will. But don't you be so absolute how God works. And then the next breath say he's sovereign. He said, I still want you to do what I told you, Brad. But because I'm God with all wisdom, I need to give you a little bit more info about why I'm sending you. Man, I like to just soak in a word as a. That's why it's kind of hard for me to move on. And it's just the backdrop. Y'all praying for me? But I want you to see what I see. Now, I don't want you to not see this as if we're Paul. I want you to see it too. So let's get back in the Word of God. But the Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name for Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. Look here. Ananias was afraid of being hurt or harmed by Saul. He knew his reputation. He knew what he did to Stephen. We all know that. But look at this. When Christ did talk to him, he told him, he said, you worried about suffering. My God, the suffering that this guy going to do for my name's sake going to blow your mind. I have chose him as a dedicated vessel to be a missionary. A dedicated vessel, but he's going to have to suffer. If he's going to be obedient to my commission, he's going to suffer. And it's not going to be for his sake, it's going to be for my sake. Now he moved from how Ananias felt that he would suffer to the man he's going to rescue, how he's going to suffer. And Ananias went his way and entered the house and laying his hands on him, he said, Brother Saul. Man, he was enemy Saul first. Now he called him Brother Saul, the Lord. See, it makes a difference when the Lord have talked with you. You know, every now and then, some of our situation, our problems, some of our stiffness, some of our children, all that mess is a lot of times because you ain't hit the right talk. If you hear the talk, you ain't hit the right talk. You didn't receive an answer from the Lord. Because when the Lord begin to speak to you, it's something about the joy. Even though the circumstances have not changed. Even though it looked like it ain't getting no better, and it looked like you shouldn't have no joy because the circumstance ain't getting no better, but you got it anyhow. What it is that the Lord, whether it's through prayer, intercessory prayer, or however he got in touch with your soul, he spoke to you. Ananias went his way after a little talk with Jesus. Some of us need to move if you had your little talk with Jesus. Some of us need to get on the stick. We need to be about God's business. You need to say, hey, yes, I'm afraid. When I'm afraid, I'll go talk to Jesus. Jesus, your words give me comfort. Your wisdom give me direction. Yeah, I didn't intend to preach that, but it's good because I'm going that way. Is that all right? Y'all pray for me and bear with me now, okay? Is that okay? All right, then. Let's get back in the Word of God. I love the Word of God. I don't know. I guess I got one in here loving with me. At least one. I think I got two. Okay. And I went his way. Brother Saul, Jesus had appeared to you on the road as you came. Has sent me that you may receive your sight. And he filled and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales. And he received his sight at once. And he arose and was baptized. So when he had received food, he was strengthened. Then Saul spent some days with the disciples at Damascus. Immediately, he preached the Christ in the synagogue. My. That he, this is very important, is the Son of God. Now, my title is Change for a New Mission. We understand that his old mission was to destroy the name of Jesus. His old mission was not about helping the disciples, but hurting the disciples. His old mission, he was the hunter, but now he's becoming the hunted. He's going to be hunted. You follow what I'm saying? You see, God didn't call him and commission him to be the same. God didn't give him salvation that he stayed the same old, same old. You see, it should be a different in your life and my life when that change of salvation have taken place. It's not all right if you think it's all right for you to be the same after you have received the Holy Spirit. No. You see, God changed us that he had changed our mission. You see, we got a mission that we want to see others go to heaven along with us. You see, God changed my life and commissioned me to preach the gospel. All right? So I couldn't tell God. I mean, I could in disobedience. Like, we can do a lot of things in disobedience. But he said, Rix, I changed you that I could change your mission. You see, I changed you so I could commission you. And so when he changed me, he had every right to commission me, because the change, the spiritual change, the new creation he created through the Holy Spirit was me now. But also he created me anew, not for myself, but for him. See, he says, I'm not my own anymore. When you are born again, whether you know it or not, if you're truly saved, it ain't all about you. It's about others. God said, I want to use you. I want to just take you away from your regular lifestyle, going down to the air station, working and taking care of your family, trying to buy a home and all that. Oh, that's good. But you were in the parentheses of when I want to intervene and speak to you and tell you I'm going to change your course. You're going to meet people. You're going to be a bishop. You're going to be an overseer of souls. But God, what are you talking about? I just got saved. I don't understand it. That's all right. I'll do you like I did Paul. I'll bring you to Arabia. And I will speak words of wisdom, words of what I want you to do, your mission in your spirit. And then I want you to immediately go preach the word of God. And not only I want you to preach for a day, I want you to stay on this journey. I want you to stay on this journey until I give you leave. See, you can't put in your leave slip unless Jesus signs it. In obedience, change for a new mission. Now, Paul, you're not going to be doing the same thing. I'm going to give you a new position. Verse 20. Immediately he preached the Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. Wow. He's the Messiah. He's the Son of God. Do you know what you're doing, Paul? The high priest rent their clothing because of this same statement. They crucified him because they know that means that he's the same essence as God. The Son of God, the only unique one, the only begotten one, the only one of his kind. Then all who heard were amazed and said, is this not he who destroyed those who called on this name in Jerusalem and has come here for that purpose so that he bring them bound to the chief priest? Man, you're supposed to be gather these folk up, bringing them bound or killing them or stoning them like you did Stephen, and bring them before the high priest that they could be judged. But Saul increased all the more in strength, and confounded the Jews who dwelt in Damascus. They said, this guy, I don't understand this change that have come over him. You see, a lot of times when you change, you begin to serve the Lord, those who knew you prior to your salvation, sometimes they think you have lost your mind. Now, if you continue to act and walk with them and do your same thing you used to do, they're not going to think you changed your mind because you're walking in darkness. But when you decide to walk in that light to be the salt of the earth, the light, well, then they're going to say, wait a minute. Man, I remember you. You used to drink more than I did. Huh? You drunk so much we gave you nicknames. Huh? You did your dope or whatever you did something. Well, man, I ain't changed. I went to church and they said, listen, homie, I'm still doing the same thing you got in the thing. But Paul's mission changed. And when you're truly saved, yours have changed whether you know it or not, whether you participate in that change or not. If you're truly born again, your mission is not the same. There are things that God don't ask unsaved people to do. God saved me first before he put it in my heart to preach. Man, I had no idea. I wasn't thinking about no preaching. It was no, well, a long time ago, when I was a little boy, I went in the backyard and looked up at the star, and I said, one day I'm going to preach, or I will go and get on the fish box and get up there. I didn't do none of that. And where I grew up at, no, you ain't doing nothing like that. It ain't about none of that. But by and by, he changed me for a new mission, Janice. I wouldn't have met Janice. I wouldn't have married Janice and brought a man if I didn't change to this new mission. I probably wouldn't have knew half of you guys in here. Most of y'all in here, the only reason I know you guys because of being a pastor. I would have missed out on knowing some good folk like y'all. I would have missed out on ministering to some good folk like you folk. Our relationship is because of the change in our lives. Oh, man, there's some little things that we need to talk about that we don't talk about, and therefore the whole we don't understand how this thing works. That's why we call you brother this or sister that, because we are all in the family, baby. You're my sister, you're my brother if you're born again. Okay, my time is, because I'm supposed to read through this, and my time is moving on. Okay, where did I stop? Y'all help me here. I can finish this. Past 20. 22. 23. I'm only going to 30, so I'm not going to read all of it. Because basically I came here for a backdrop, and you can read all of it, the whole chapter. Most of y'all know a lot that's here anyway. 23 says, now after many days were passed, Jews plotted to what? Kill him. They said, man, if you have changed like that, we're going to kill you because you just like them disciples. You are following the way. You're supposed to be reaping havoc on the way, but now you are promoting their doctrine. But their plot became known to Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. Then the disciples took him by night and let him down through the wall in a large basket. And when Saul had come to Jerusalem, now, he's going right back to Jerusalem, where he was sent from Jerusalem to go to Damascus to bring those folk captive. And Saul had come to Jerusalem. He tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and did not believe that he was a disciple. Man, we don't know about that. You know, you may be perpetrating. You may be pretending that you can get in our group and then you can capture us. Huh? We don't know. We don't know now. Watch this. But Barnabas, the son of consolation, but Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles. You know, it's good to have somebody when a lot of you telling the truth and a lot of folk don't believe you because you know what you used to be. But it's good to have somebody that can witness, stand up for you, and say, you know what? I stand with you. Huh? And he declared to them how he had seen the Lord on the road and that he had spoken to him and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. If you're preaching, let it be in the name of Jesus. See, when you devalue Jesus, you devalue salvation. If you don't preach Jesus, you're not preaching deliverance. There is no deliverance outside of Jesus. I don't care how you package it. I don't care how it smells. I don't care how it look. It can look spiritual, smell spiritual. And in somebody's eyes, look spiritual. But at the same time, if Jesus is not the centerpiece, if Jesus is not the preaching, there is no deliverance for mankind. How are you going to be a missionary? How are you going to carry the good news and you're not carrying Jesus? There is no good news without Jesus Christ. There is no gospel without Jesus Christ. Mission Sunday, missionaries. Oh, change for a new mission. Do you feel that way in your life? That when you got your change of salvation, your direction changed? Or is your direction so much the same, you really don't know whether you're saved or not? I'm telling you something. It ain't no ifs and ands. I don't care who you are. If you are truly born again, he have changed your mission. Now, you don't have to be obedient. See, this is the confusion. You don't have to be obedient. That makes you think you're okay. But there's consequences for disobedience. You don't have to be changed to be a preacher or an apostle. You got that treasure that you can lead somebody to the Lord. So he was with them in Jerusalem, coming in and going out. And he spoke boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputing against the Hellenists, those Greek-speaking Jews. But they attempted to kill him. You see, a lot of times folk don't want us to hear nothing about no Jesus. You may lose your life talking about Jesus. Those people say, you done lost your mind. Ain't nobody talking about no Jesus today. And see, when y'all start talking about Jesus, you mess up because you, when you start talking about him to people, you want to say he the only way. Ain't nobody believing that today. See, we don't believe in no absolutes. Now, the way y'all, when y'all talk about Jesus, y'all got an absolute. Y'all come telling people he the only way. No, you should be telling them he's one of the ways. Are you out of your mind? Folk don't need nobody else lying to them. There's enough folk lying to them that there are many ways. See, keep in mind, Christ don't want you lying on him, lying for him. Because you got to realize, he's already declared he's the truth. He's the truth. Wow. And when you think about Jesus, you can say it like this. He is the truth, y'all. You can believe everything that comes out of the mouth of Jesus. Because his character depends on him being the truth. If he would ever lie, he'd cease from being God. Can save us if he was a liar. Because God would have been found in him. Oh, this thing is deeper. It's a whole lot deeper than we pretended to be. But it's beautiful. It's good when you receive it the right way. Wake up in here. Wake up. Come on with me now. I'm talking about your Jesus. Anybody saved in the house? I'm talking about your Jesus. Well, what do make you happy? Is anything make you joyful? I don't mean you got a, I know you're listening, but man, you look like, ain't there? Christ, help me. See, that's the difference. I'm not Christ. But I do like this though. No. It's Bible. See, y'all got to walk with me. See, I'm not Jesus. When I look at your faces, it can bother me. That's why it's written, don't worry about their faces. I make yours like flint. So don't act like it ain't biblical. Jesus knew, am I right, Joan? Jesus knew that, not with the Christian. I thought that was the enemy. No, I'm serious. I'm talking about your Jesus. Now, man said here, he talking about a bunch of false doctrine and stuff. All that. You're supposed to look like that, but not when we're talking about the joy of the Lord. See, the joy of the Lord should be your strength. I guess I wish God called everybody to preach. So you can get a little bit of this. The other folk that want a pastor. Come on, bro. Please, pastor. No, I don't want to pastor. No, no. Get the whole loaf, bro. Come on. I'm going to pay the first rent on your building. I'll pay it. But you got a pastor, then. You can't play with this thing. Don't get a Bible study. See, y'all fooling other people and look cute. I know what you're doing. Woo! Are y'all praying for me out there? I'm for real, y'all. He told me, Lord, 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 help me. Help me to get in the word. Because I thought the saints were to help you. Okay. Okay, I finished the 30s then. I'm only going to 30 here, then I'm moving on. And I'll just go right through the other one so you go to Golden Corral and get you some chicken. Okay. Yeah, I did. I got to the last one. He says, when the brethren found out, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him out to Tarsus. Now, looking at that backdrop is bringing us over to my outline of my message is why he was not ashamed of the gospel. We'll go over to Romans, just two verses in the book of Romans, chapter 1. That old Paul. So you got a little background, and some of you already knew some of the background, but you don't take it for granted that everybody know in your audience. But now as we move over, we want to look at a few things here from Romans chapter 1, verse 16 and 17. Paul says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it, the gospel of Christ, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Saints, we who are justified, our life got to be a faith life. A lot of things you may not see, but you got to believe. You got to believe the things of God. I've never seen Christ, but I preach Christ. I've never seen him face to face, but I'm glad that he made that statement to Thomas, man, you want to see my hands and touch the holes in my side. I'm going to let you do that because I don't want you to be doubting me, Thomas, and you're one of the 12. But you know what? Blessed are those who have not seen but yet believe. You know, he's talking about us, Sister Reed, when he said that. He's talking about us. He's talking about us, Brother Leroy. Brad, and he's talking about us. So you know what that do for me? It let me know I'm blessed even preaching Christ. If somebody, have you ever seen him? You act like you're so confident, say, have you ever seen him? No, I haven't seen him face to face. But one day I will. Not only one day I'll see him face to face, but I'm going to be like him. I'm going to have a glorified body. Huh? See, right now, God is molding and pruning and shaping and getting me ready for my new body, that I look like it. But right now, I got to operate on faith. Amen, amen, amen. Sister Irma, you keep taking care of those children. You keep investing in them children, Jesus, as much as you can. You keep up that work. That work is not in vain. There's something about Christ. He may not come when you want him or do the things you want to, but when you deposit the truth, the way, the life in children, somewhere down the line, they may find themselves thinking about something different from what they're confronted with and say, I remember Jesus. I remember I can walk in authority. And that authority is not my authority. It is that of Christ. They can remember them songs of Zion when they were singing, and Brother Newby and all y'all were working with our children. Hey, man, I don't care if they got the little attitudes or what. Hang in there. Work with our children. Love our children. Put in them the things they may need. Yeah, they may rebel. They may. Their little minds is going to and fro. We are living in a wicked world today. And our flesh craves for that of the world. Even when we would do good, evil's always around us. It's present. But we're going to keep on preaching Jesus. Huh? I need him. You need him. Oh, I haven't arrived. No. Maybe y'all have. I haven't. And I got to talk with him. I got to tell him about my fears. I got to tell him the innermost things of my heart. Looking for an answer. And I'm going to tell you, sometimes God will answer you with something you don't want to hear. Because, see, sometimes your question is loaded, but you can't load no question that you get at Jesus. Because he'll unload it on you. He see right through it. See, he said, Paul going to suffer for me. But the thing I like about Paul sold out to the gospel. Paul was saying, if I live, it's Christ. I'm going to preach him. If you kill me, gain. I'm going to go see him. So ain't nothing you can do to me to stop me from preaching this gospel as long as I'm living. Then if you think you're going to just chop my head off and it's going to be all over, no, I'm going to get a new body, but then I'm going to go see him. But it says it's better that I stay here a little while that I continue to teach. But I want to look at this and I'll get out your way. Paul, it says in that first verse, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And what I want to look at in my little outline, I want to look at a few things. Paul was not ashamed of the gospel because of its origin. Okay. It is the gospel of Christ. The gospel came from God when God permitted his son to die on the rugged cross. So, because the gospel originated from God and centered in God's Son, Jesus Christ, it's all about Christ. How can I not be ashamed of Christ, but be ashamed of the gospel? Can't do it, because the gospel is all about the sacrificial death and resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So where the gospel come from? Glory, glory, glory. Before the foundation of the world, God had already prepared the seed of the woman, knowing that it would take Satan's head out. Not only was he not ashamed because of where it came from, the origin, the operation. It is the power of God. 16b. The one message that had the power to change man's lives. He had seen this power work in Corinth. In Ephesus, he had already seen it. Now he's heading to Rome. And it had transformed his own life. See, when you truly have been transformed yourself, you know what you're talking about when you talk about the power of God. You say, I'm not saying the power of God for you, man, or for you, miss. No. I'm telling you what it did for me. If you had seen me yesterday, if folk had seen us in our yesterdays, you probably say, for them to change, it got to be some shown up power. And guess what? They were right. It wasn't no shown up power. It was almighty power that changed me. Yeah. If God could roll back the curtain and see us in our yesterday prior to the change, why I'm happy, why I'm smiling with this gospel, I don't understand everything fully. I don't understand why I'm preaching. I've been preaching so long. And God let me keep on. But I thank him. I try to rightly divide the word of God. Because I'm telling you something. More he speak to me, more understanding I receive. And I'm trying to impart that to you. Oh, where it came? Where did the gospel come from? Its origin, its operation, it operates in power. You ain't got nothing on earth that operates in this kind of power. Let me move on. This missionary Sunday, right? And see, for you taking notes, if you are, these are some good notes for you to take if you're going to be a witness to somebody. But if you ain't planning on witness somebody, you don't take no notes or nothing like that because you ain't planning on using that. Then you get somebody one-on-one, a family member, and they say, tell me something about it. Ask you a few questions, and even the little bit that I give you here, if you don't use it, you can use this. You can use these two verses. You can forget the rest of it, or you can say, okay, I got the rest of Paul's conversion. But I want to use this, so I'm not giving you a whole lot to use when you're witnessing. Because our relatives and neighbors, they can be hard sometimes. And if you go and knock on somebody's door, no telling how they're going to come out. They may come out, cuss you out. Or they may just come to be funny and just set to ask you some questions. And there could be some basic questions. But we refuse to take notes. And also, what I try to do is not just give you the notes, but I try to give you a method of how to use it, the same way you see me doing. Because you're going to use different, don't change the message, but some of us need to change our methods. So I can learn methods from you. Man, I didn't think of that way. Okay, I'm going to use that when I witness or whatever. And see, that always helps you sometimes from that standpoint. But make sure the message is the truth of the gospel. Okay, second one is the outcome. That is 16C. It is the power of God unto salvation. See, the outcome of preaching the gospel is deliverance. Mankind need to be delivered from the wrath of God. Deliverance. The nation need to be, not just the Jew, but all of mankind need to be delivered. Salvation means deliverance. The gospel delivers sinners from the penalty and power of sin. Somebody you talk with, you say, you witnessed to me and you're trying to give me that gospel. Why do I need it? Because all have sinned, that's including me, mister, and come short of the glory of God. But this gospel will deliver us, you and me, from our greatest need, from the wrath of God, because someday is payday. Someday is payday. Salvation means deliverance. The gospel delivers sinners from the penalty and power of sin. Salvation is the greatest need of mankind. The greatest need is salvation. You see, when God says, what profit a man, brethren, to gain the whole world? In other words, you're going at that which has no profit compared to losing your soul. You see what I'm saying? Now, the gospel will save my soul. The gospel will deliver me from the wrath of God. Are you with me? So what God is saying, when you put your emphasis on the temporary. It'll take all your time, talent, and treasure trying to seek it. But it's only temporary. But when you turn your eyes to Jesus and say, I want to embrace that gospel because I know its origin. I know what it's going to do. I know its delivering power. See, I'm just not embracing the gospel for nothing. I know how potent it is. I know how important it is. I know it will take me from the guttermost and lift me up to the uttermost. See, I know something about what it'll do. So I embrace it. You know, those who understand this, we need to embrace each other, to encourage each other. We need that. See, if you know all of this, and I'm trying to preach this, you need to encourage me. My preaching is trying to encourage you. Okay? I mean, it works both ways. Because I'm telling you, there are people in this society that we live, and we're living in the last days. Satan know he got but a short time. He's not taking no annual leave or sick leave. He's 100% on his job. But you got a power. Okay, wait, one more. Is that it? One more. We know its origin, we know its operation, we know its outcome, and we know its outreach. 16, last part of 16 and verse 17. It says, the gospel was for all mankind because all men needed to be saved. In Mark 16:15, it says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel, was Christ's commission. How marvelous it is to have a message of power that can be taken to all people. Now, I end right here. Listen to this carefully. God do not ask man to behave in order to be saved. God do not ask mankind to behave in order to be saved, but to believe on Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. You see, you ain't gotta tell people to stop this and stop that. How are they going to stop this and stop that without the power to do it? But God ain't asking them to behave. See, God know why you're behaving the way you're behaving. But he asks you to believe. Many times we want to stop that behavior so much. You need to stop drinking. You need to stop this. After you do all that, then I'll come back and give the gospel. That man may stop drinking and die. But try to get him to drinking. Try to get him to gospel. And let the gospel change. Let the gospel take that taste away from him. See, there's some power in the gospel that's not in you and me. Anybody love the gospel? Anybody love Jesus? Huh? Oh, man. Whatever God called you to do, whatever God changed you to do, love your neighbor, love people, love the saints, give the gospel to those who don't know the Lord. And Christ would be glorified. Seems like we have all our folk in here today. Saints, I know a message like this may not make you jump and shout, but it make heaven jump and shout. Because heaven jump and shout over one sinner that repent. And they repent because we preach the gospel. Because we give that message of power. Is there somebody here today? Is there just one here today? You say, preacher, you showed me through the word of God, because there was the scriptures. Now I go back and search them for myself. But how much power that's in that gospel? You let me know where the gospel is from, the outreach of it, and all of that. And also you said, God is not interested in my behavior. He's not asking me to behave right. He's asking me to get right. He's asking me to receive Jesus Christ as my Savior. Then all of the help to walk right and to do the things that God would have me to do will be housed within me in the person of the Holy Spirit. Because he's that power, he's that greater entity that's in me than he that's in the world. So if you're here today, say, preacher, I don't know about stopping my behavior, but I'm glad God ain't asking me to do that. But I don't think I have received Jesus Christ in a real way in my life. I don't want to leave this place perpetrating, pretending. Mm-mm. Not when I heard a clear message of what this gospel would do for me. If there's one here today, Paul said he was not ashamed because it changed his life. Is there one here today who would say, I am not ashamed. I'm not worried about these people. I'm worried about my soul. I want to come to Jesus. I don't want to die without this power of the gospel. Is there one here today? Is there just one that will come to receive Jesus Christ as their Savior? Is there one? Before it's eternally too late, why don't you come? Let's bow our heads and pray. Father God, we thank thee for a solid word from Acts and from Romans, all through the scriptures. But we thank you. We thank you, Father God, that though we know you, every now and then we need to be stirred up from the word of God. We need to be reminded that we were changed and we were changed for a new mission to be used by Christ. So Lord, I just pray that all under the sound of my voice, that they truly know, that they know, that they know that they know that they are born again. Because, Father God, that's what it's all about. Thank you, Jesus, for being our sin bearer, paying for our sins. Thank you, God, that you proclaim that it is finished. Thank you for that. And God, help us to be better witnesses. Help us to care. Care enough to know the gospel. Help us to care enough for a lost soul. Wherever we are, on our job, in school, in our neighborhood, in the grocery store, God, thank you for deliverance of your gospel. In Jesus' name, we pray and we ask it all. We say amen. 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 Hallelujah. God bless you. You are free to go. Oh, hold up. Oh, sure. Thank you, Doc.